Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording on November 1st at 10 past 6 Greenwich Mean Time. Well, this has been quite a variable day in here today. Starting off with stock markets in Asia, there was really some quite impressive moves. Now, Japan really stood out because it was down a little bit on the day and it had that quite significant down day yesterday. So there's still a little bit of weakness in Japan, but you had Hong Kong moving to an all-time new high that's up 129 points. It was at 18,453, and backing that up, you had the Chinese A shares and those other Chinese markets all moving up as well. So particularly the A shares, and you'll see that chart in the chart library. That really does look like it's moved out of this consolidation area, and it looks like it's got blue sky overhead. So it would need quite a significant down move to take the impetus out of that. So it does look like China is on the up and up. There were some other noteworthy moves in Asia today. For example, Australia was up 0.6 of 1%, so that was a good firm day there. But Indonesia, Singapore, and Thailand also were very firm. Indonesia, in particular, has been really in a very consistent uptrend. Singapore had that quite significant down day a couple of days ago, but today had a strong upward dynamic, almost completely countermanding the down move, and is really starting to shrug off that little bit of weakness. And Thailand had a very good rally right from where it should have, because it had rallied above this area of consolidation, rallied above 720, came back, tested the top of the range, and then had a good up day again here today. So it's up to 730 right now, and that does look like it's starting to reassert that short to medium term uptrend. So a good day all in all in Asia. Moving across to Europe, pretty firm in here. The FTSE had been up quite a lot in early trading, but closed on the day up 20. That's up about a third of 1% at 6,149. And the leaders continue to be very firm. You had the IBEX in Spain. It was up 19 points at 13,772. Now, that's off the highs as far as I know. Yes, it's pretty much completely off the highs, but still up on the day. And this remains really very firm, and it would need a significant downward dynamic and follow through on that dynamic to really take the impetus out of this move. So we can give it the benefit of the doubt, or the upside, the benefit of the doubt in that case. And looking at the US, you had manufacturing numbers came out here, and they were a bit weaker than expected. The survey had anticipated a score of 53, and it came in at 51.2. So that's a bit weaker than expected, and equity markets are really quite steady in here. They're not down very much at all. You have the Dow Jones down 37, the S&P down 5, and the Nasdaq down 12 as we speak. So still quite firm. I suppose the equity market that is really getting beaten up the most in here is Canada, and you'll see that those two articles I posted on the tax that they're going to start levying on the income trusts. And the market has really not liked that very much at all. I suppose there's two big questions. The first is, are they going to be able to levy this tax because it's a major breach of a campaign promise? That's the first thing. But I suppose it's not really a reason for absolute panic, because any existing trust won't be taxed until 2011, and that's another three and a bit years away. So there's still plenty of time to make money out of these income trusts, but obviously long-term investors are a little bit worried about that, because this is the second time the rules have changed for these trusts in the last couple of years. But when you look at that, I suppose the important thing to look at is the chart of the overall index of those income trusts, and you'll see that in the comment of the day. It does look like it's rolling over, and it I suppose really it would need to break that progression of lower highs and the lower lows to really give the impetus back to the bulls. And it really is for the bulls to prove right now. And I mean, because it's rolling over, and because we have by definition, a downtrend, I think that the bulls have got an uphill battle in front of them. Of course, there are bound to be some bargains going to be appearing in that sector, but afraid I don't know enough about it to really talk very knowledgeably about the income trusts. Now, looking at some of the metal prices, zinc in particular has had a very volatile day in here. It was as high as 4,325, but it gave up almost the entire thing. It was down on the day very briefly, and right now it's up 10, so it's at 4,230. Lead continues to power ahead. It's up 48 in here, and that's at 1,665, which is really quite it's a steep uptrend, but it's a very, very consistent uptrend. And again, it would need a downward dynamic, and it would need to break that persistent uptrend to really turn on the warning lights here. I suppose the weakest of them has been copper. That's down 10.55 right now. It's at 3.24. And of the industrial metals, copper is the one that really has been looking like the one that was going to break down, if any of them were going to break down. But I maintain that even though copper is in a medium-term correction and hasn't really been able to break up out of that, just like zinc has been able to, I think the chances of copper actually breaking down are very low, purely on a commonality basis. So even though it looks like the weakest of them, and it certainly is the weakest of them, I don't think that we're going to see any kind of capitulation selling in the copper market. Looking at the precious metals, gold is up 8.23 on spot in here today. It's at 6.14. Given that it was really testing the $600 mark over the last couple of days, this is really quite positive action in here. And gold is starting to look a bit more resurgent over the last couple of days. Silver is up 19 points. It's at 12.46. The high of the day was at 12.59. That was earlier on in the session. But silver is looking really quite resurgent. Now, you'll see the chart of the day, or one of the charts of the day today, is platinum. And that had surged ahead, excuse me, it had surged through $1,100 earlier on today, but it can't come right back right now to almost 1,100 even. And if it sustains a move above that level, that tells us that the bulls are starting to get the upper hand in here. It hasn't sustained that move just yet, but I think that if we see gold and silver starting to run ahead, silver, or sorry, platinum will start to follow their lead. Now, looking at some of the other commodities, wheat in particular has been a bit of a disappointment. It broke down from that sort of short-term range yesterday, and even though it's up just marginally in here today, it's up 6 for at 489. It hasn't countermanded that move, and it really would need to sustain the move back above 500 to offset potential for further downside. One of those grains that is really powering ahead now is soybeans. There was a contract change today, so the continuation chart in the library isn't going to look quite as quite what you might expect. But yesterday we had, I suppose, the biggest down day we've had since the beginning of October, and October has been really a significant month for soybeans. But today it's up 10.75 points. It's at 6.55 on the January contract, so that's pretty much countermanding the down move that we saw yesterday. And we could be moving into a little bit of a consolidation for soybeans at these levels. It's very firm, and I'm surprised by how firm it is, to be honest. But it had become a little bit overstretched over the last couple of days. So if we see a little bit of a consolidation, that really is bullish, because if we see a consolidation around these levels, which are around the highs that we saw back in May, June, and July, that really is bullish for this sector. I suppose there is a risk that if the case for the grains isn't absolutely convincing on a fundamental basis, and we are seeing the precious metals and the industrial metals starting to make new highs, that you might see a little bit of selling in grains to buy the precious metals. I think that might be a bit precipitous right now, but that is a risk going forward if we see further weakness in the grain sector and strength in the precious metals. Now, looking at currencies, the dollar index is pretty flat on the day. It's at 85.37 right now, and the yen and the euro and the Swiss franc are all pretty flat on the day as well. But obviously, because you have the Canadian dollar, sorry, the Canadian stock market's under pressure, the Canadian dollar is also experiencing some selling pressure. It's at 113.37 right now, so selling off against the US dollar, and that's up over 1 cent today. I think there's a number of factors working against the Canadian dollar as we speak. One of them, of course, being the pressure on the oil price. And I think it's doubtful whether we're going to see very much more strength coming into the Canadian dollar until we see oil starting to reassert that uptrend. Now, looking at oil today, it's down 47 cents right now. It's at 58.25, and given that we had that very strong down move 2 days ago, it closed well off the lows yesterday, but it's not capitalizing on that at all today. The fact that it closed off the lows yesterday tells us that it's not going to go down in a straight line, and it's certainly the speed of this downtrend has slowed, so I think we're still in a bottoming out range, but whether that bottom is going to be around $58 or around $55 or lower, it's very hard to say. What we can say without a doubt, or looking specifically at the chart facts, that move from August down to the end of September was a very fast move, and in October it's pretty much been ranging sideways with a downward bias. And I suppose, actually, I should tell you that I'm looking at the December contract right now, and that looks a bit different to the continuation chart. But within that range, we have a succession of lower highs and lower lows. So there's definitely a downward bias there, but it's really slowed down the action of that downtrend. So that does tell us that we are coming into, there is a little bit more buying at this level than there would have been all the way through August and September. But what we really need to see are some upward dynamics and follow through on upward dynamics to reassert this uptrend, and we haven't seen that yet. So we won't be able to say that there's a conclusive bottom until we see the follow through on these upward dynamics once they appear. Looking at some of the other energy contracts, gasoline is up 158, it's at 144.32, and natural gas is up 5 cents at $7.58 and half cents. So we haven't seen the upper dynamics yet, and they're going to be worth looking out for. Now, treasuries have really had a spectacular rally over the last couple of weeks. The 30-year is at 113.05 right now. It's up 16 on the day, so that's a full half point. And we are running into an area of potential resistance around the September highs, but given the strength with which it's come up over the last 6 days, I mean, it's rallied from 110 to 113 in 6 days, which is a very strong rally indeed. I think I saw some headline on Bloomberg. I think it's Treasury notes have longest rally since 2004 as US factory index falls. That's their sort of generic way of telling us that they've gone up, and they've taken the first statistic to explain why they've gone up. But what we can say, again, looking at the chart facts, they've gone up a lot. They're potentially a little bit overstretched. They're running into an area of potential resistance, but we would need to see some sort of downward dynamic to confirm that resistance. And that's pretty much it. If there's anything else you'd like us to cover, please don't hesitate to contact us, and thank you very much for your time.